Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Why has a convention of states never been called since the U.S. Constitution was ratified? I mean, it does have Article 5, which does include information on amending the Constitution, but no other constitutional convention has ever been called. Why? In the state Senate right now, SR 152 is on the table and may be voted on when the Senate reconvenes on June 6th. Yes, the U.S. government has overreached its power, but we do have a 10th Amendment, which does give states power, which I don't think they're implementing or that they're using the power that's been given them by the Constitution. But my guest today will help us understand the dangers of a constitutional convention and, you know, perhaps address the fact that states are not using the authority in the 10th Amendment that is given to them in the Constitution. But my guest today is Andy Schlafly. He's an attorney in New Jersey and also part of Phyllis Schlafly's Eagles. Thanks, Andy, for being with us.
Thank you, Diane. I want to express my great appreciation to you, Diane, for all the wonderful work you do and all your listeners out there. Diane is just a fabulous, the top source of information there about what's going on in Pennsylvania, which is such an important state to our entire country.
I appreciate those kind words. And it is troubling that we once again have those in the General Assembly who are pushing a convention of states right now, SR 152. I'm going to just read the short title of what that is so the listeners will understand. So it's a concurrent resolution petitioning the Congress of the United States to call a convention for proposing amendments pursuant to Article 5 of the Constitution of the United States, limited to proposing amendments that impose fiscal restraints on the federal government, limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government, and limit the terms of office for its officials and for members of Congress. I mean, those proposals sound good. We do need a balanced budget amendment. We do need term limits, et cetera, et cetera. But the way they're going about it, they're saying that everything will be under control. They'll call a convention and they'll have complete control of the convention. What are some of the dangers of a convention of states or a constitutional convention, which they don't use that terminology?
Right. The number one danger of an Article 5 convention or convention of states, it's really the same thing. The other side tries to parse words and say they're different. No, it's a convention that would come together, and the number one risk is they can rewrite our Constitution, Diane. Mm-hmm. There's no way to limit the scope on such a convention. Once they're convened, and just imagine, the egos that get involved, the media gets involved, big money gets involved, they're going to rewrite the whole thing.
Yeah.
And nothing can stop it once you allow them to meet. So that's the problem. There's no way to limit the scope. And I encourage all the listeners out there to pull out your copy of the Constitution or find it online. Article 5, you can go to it and you can see there's no limitation in scope. Once a convention forms and gets together, they can propose amendments, plural, which means there's no limit to the amendments. They can, of course, they'll repeal the Second Amendment. Of course, they'll insert taxpayer funding abortion. Of course, they'll put in all sorts of things that are not in our marvelous Constitution that we have today. They'll take out the good things that are in our Constitution, the treaty clause, the electoral college, things like that. They'll take that stuff out. And we will not like the result of that process, Diane.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you know, the Convention of States folks, you know, they're saying that, well, we can control the debate, we can control the convention, et cetera, et cetera. But as you're saying, there are no rules in the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution laid out within Article 5 or anywhere else in the Constitution as far as how such a convention would be held. And one thing that really bothers me, and I found out that the 17th Amendment, which allows for the direct election of U.S. senators, is a result of pressure from, this was like the late 1800s, where there was pressure from folks who were trying to call a convention of states for the very purpose of introducing an amendment for the direct election of U.S. senators. And Congress gave in to that pressure and passed the 17th Amendment, which we're still suffering under the consequences of that amendment right now, because we should not be doing direct election of senators. It should be back the way the founders put it in place. So right there's an example of Congress giving in to pressure from the conventional states folks, even back in the late 1800s, and passing, I think it was the early 1900s, so the 17th Amendment was passed along with a whole slew of other amendments. No rules in place, even though the conventional states folks say that they can control the debate. And
now that's a superb point, Diana. And that Amendment 17th Amendment was ratified in 1913,
okay,
ultimately after decades of pressure, just as you say. And when it was finally ratified, state legislatures passed that by unanimous or almost unanimous consent, even though it took power away from them. And that just illustrates how great the pressure becomes. And when you get that steamroller behind this process, it becomes like an avalanche, and you can't stop it. So we've got some of these convention states, people say, well, if we don't like the result of the convention, then it won't be ratified by 38 states. That's not true.
Right.
It becomes like a runaway train. And they can even call for state conventions to ratify. So it bypasses the state legislatures altogether to ratify
goodness.
This thing. That's what happened with the 21st Amendment.
Wow.
They do it with state conventions. And so you're just calling people. You don't even know who the delegates are going to be. If you don't like what the convention does, you call another convention until you get the thing passed, and they just push it through. And billions of dollars are behind this. Just imagine the benefits and perks could be stuck into a new constitution for the special advantage of billionaires, globalism, things like that. And just billions would flow into this thing to make it a special interest bonanza.
Yeah, I immediately think of George Soros. You know, funneling millions, at least tens of millions of dollars into this. And how about Bill Gates, where he, you know, in the Constitution,
right,
mandated to get every vaccine that has been approved by the FDA.
Right.
It does open the Constitution and would expose the citizens of the United States to great danger that's not being realized. I mean, the Convention of States folks makes it sound like this is the only way that we can get a balanced budget, because, you know, we see, I don't know how many trillions of dollars the U.S. government is in debt right now. But my thought is, we have our Constitution right now, and just looking at the Second Amendment and how the attacks are continual against the Second Amendment. And even though we were to amend the Constitution, there's still going to be those activists out there who are going to be pushing for whatever, like a balanced budget amendment. They're going to be pushing for changes in that. It's just, if a balanced budget amendment, which sounds good, were to pass, doesn't guarantee that anything's going to change with the federal government spending money.
That's right. I mean, the federal government doesn't pay attention to the Constitution we have, so why does anyone think passing a new one is going to make them pay attention to that? They're still going to do what they want to do. And if the people behind a convention of states, Diane, are so smart and influential, why don't they just fix the problem now? Why don't they just elect some good people to Congress? But the people pushing the convention of states can't even elect good people to Congress. So how are they possibly going to be able to have a good outcome to a convention of states that includes the left, includes these radicals, includes protesters, includes Soros-funded people? There's no possible way that would have a good result.
Exactly. But yeah, we have former Senator Rick Santorum in Harrisburg petitioning senators right now to pass SR 152. Why have some of these people with name recognition like Rick Santorum, why do you think they're pushing this such a convention?
What we see, Diane, is a pattern where ex-politicians who have to earn a living and are out there working for some of these private organizations, and I don't know about Santorum specifically, but I know some of the others have popped up on some of these organizational disclosures as receiving funding to advocate for a convention of states. And so there's a lot of private money, dark money, you might say, flowing beneath the surface, perhaps in the total over the last 10 years, perhaps $25 million has flowed beneath the surface to provide funding to ex-politicians to lobby for this. And it may be that they have good intentions. I know Santorum is a good guy generally, but he has to make a living,
right?
As
yeah.
all of us do. And I just don't know if he's getting paid to do this. In fact, in Pennsylvania, I don't know what the lobbying disclosure requirements are, if he's a paid lobbyist. I guess we could probably look that up. You would know best, Diane, if that's public information in Pennsylvania and what website to go to. They have, the convention states has a lot of paid lobbyists in other states.
Oh, Pennsylvania definitely has a lot of paid lobbyists. I think you can go to the Department of State website to find out what the just what the lobbying law is. And I don't know what it is because we don't do a lot of direct lobbying in Harrisburg.
Right. But these individuals, there's an organization, they file Form 990. Several of them, they use names that are sometimes hard to find. That's the way dark money operates. Don Hancock's name is on one of these organizations.
Oh.
Kind of connect the dots. It's very hard to trace the money that's on there. But it's a lot of it. It's millions of dollars. And so all we're seeing, Diane, in terms of supporters is it's sort of a few ex-politicians who are back in the private sector, a few people who are maybe on TV. Sometimes it's referred to as conservative ink. These are people who are making money for themselves off different ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But as Justice Scalia said, after he served on the bench for decades in the Supreme Court, he said a Article 5 convention is, quote, a horrible idea to pursue this. And those are the people we should be listening to.
Absolutely.
Chief Justice Warren Burger was against it. Phyllis Schlafly was against it. These are genuine people who are doing what's best, saying what's best for our country and advocating. Those are the people we should be listening to.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that was, I think it was in 2014 that Justice Scalia said that. Part of that quote was also that who knows what would come out of that. I mean, those were the words of Justice Scalia. So he recognized the danger of it for sure. And we need to go back, listen to, in fact, in that case, listen to, because he's on video making that response to a question about how he would, I think, change the Constitution, I think is what it was, or amend the Constitution. And his response was he definitely would not want a constitutional convention.
Right.
I think what he said was what he changed, the way he changed the Constitution was to change the way you would amend the Constitution. I think that was what he said. He does not like Article 5 at all.
Yeah, and that's an earnest opinion by someone who was serving on the Supreme Court. That's the opinion that counts.
Yeah.
There are very few elected officials today who are actually supporting. Even Ted Cruz, who I think has gotten a lot of pressure to support this, he has not.
Oh, good.
Donald Trump has not supported this.
Uh-huh.
You look around, who are the big names in Congress, and almost none of them have endorsed a convention of states because it just opens up a Pandora's box. The other side has more money than us, Diane. They put it into campaigns. I just saw the challenger to Mitch McConnell last cycle raised $90 million to try to defeat Mitch McConnell.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, they just have unlimited funds on this thing. These Democratic candidates for president, unlimited funds. And on our side, there's not as much money. So if we got into a convention of states, all the money would be on the other side.
Mm, exactly.
And these provisions, these resolutions for it, they don't even prohibit corruption. I mean, they don't even take steps to prohibit delegates receiving money from private sources to push their agenda. And there's no telling. Someone could get millions of dollars to be a delegate to one of these things and to push a certain agenda, and nobody would even know. Nobody even knows they're getting money on the side. So the potential for corruption is just mind-boggling. And why would we risk our country, our prosperity, our freedom to such an uncertain process?
Absolutely. And, you know, what the Convention of States folks is doing is basically preying upon, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, preying upon the frustration of patriotic Americans as we see the country headed in the way it is, which is debt up to the wazoo and open borders and everything else. But they're preying upon that because not enough people understand, or not enough citizens of the United States read the Constitution, let alone elected officials who are supposed to be abiding by the Constitution, who take an oath to uphold the Constitution, but they don't know what the Constitution says. In Federalist number 85, Alexander Hamilton also warned against the powerful individuals in this and in other states are enemies to a general national government in every possible shape. That's his warning against any another convention, because he's afraid, as you mentioned, of powerful individuals who would hold sway over what takes place in that convention. And you talked about millions of dollars being on the other side. How about the media? The media's on the other side too, and there'd be pressure from the media and the dark money paid to delegates and such. As you're saying, it just opens the Constitution to a very dangerous, and opens the entire country to a very dangerous scenario.
Right. And so some say, Diane, why is that Article 5 in there? Well,
Good question. That
when the original Constitution was put together in 1787, realized that all of the delegates to that Constitutional Convention had risked their own lives.
Yeah, true.
To create the new United States and to create something good for our people and children and prosperity, that they had all personally risked their lives. There were none of these Antifa people at that original Constitution. These were all people who were willing to lay their own lives down on the line for our country. That's why that Article 5. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and God-fearing people made up the original convention. They may not have all been what we would call a Christian, but they were God-fearing people. And we don't have that enough.
We don't have that today.
Exactly.
We wouldn't, a convention today, probably a majority of the delegates would be people who never served in the military, never risked their lives for our country, may even hate our country, may be influenced by foreign governments. Our original Constitution created something very good for us that we all enjoy. A second Constitution would basically be dominated by people who want to tear it down and want to exploit it for their own profit. That's what a second convention. So that Article 5 went in there at that time period of our original Constitution where you look around and everybody you see are people who loved our country and people who had sacrificed for our country. But now, more than 200 years later, that's just not the case. And it's that Article 5 is not for this current time period that we're in today. It's not, that was only 200 years ago.
Right.
Not for today. And so let's be realistic about it, that we can't even necessarily win an election to keep somebody bad out of office. How are we possibly going to rewrite the Constitution?
Exactly. As you mentioned, $90 million is what that one Senate candidate raised against McConnell. Oh, my goodness.
Against Mitch McConnell, the most powerful Republican in the Senate. I mean, the money on the other side is just mind-boggling. They're going to raise billions for the next presidential election.
Yeah.
And we can only raise a fraction of that.
Yeah.
So we need the Constitution to continue to protect our liberties and freedoms. If we take away that Constitution or change it in some way, we're going to be a lot worse off.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned in the introduction, we have the 10th Amendment, which says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Are the states using the 10th Amendment, the authority given them in the 10th Amendment?
Not as much as they should be.
Yeah.
So that's where we should be spending our time and energy, is getting the states to exercise the authority that they have under the current Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I want to point out that what this resolution is doing, Diane, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but it's Congress that would call this convention.
Yeah.
So the name Convention of States is a very slick marketing gimmick by this organization. It has millions of dollars from unknown sources. It's not a convention of states. It's a convention called by Congress. Well, who runs Congress? Well, that's Nancy Pelosi there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Do we want to give her power to call a convention to rewrite the Constitution? Certainly not.
Absolutely not. And this is a joint, this SR 152 is a joint resolution. So it says that the General Assembly of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania hereby apply to the Congress of the United States under the provisions of Article 5 of the Constitution of the U.S. So it's a joint resolution. So and explain and make sure I got to have this straight. In a joint resolution, it's in the Senate, SR, of course, SR is a Senate resolution. Since it's a joint resolution, that if it passes in the Senate, it doesn't have to go to the House, the State House, with it being a joint resolution. The House of Representatives concurring.
I think they'd have to vote. I think you'd have to have a vote in the House. Maybe they already have. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I know that there have been bills.
We have to check on that.
Yeah. I'm not positive about that.
But does not have to be signed by the governor.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of the two chambers of the legislature voting on it.
Okay.
And the sneakery by the other side is shocking. I mean, they will slip this stuff through. I think in one day, in one state, they did the House and the Senate the same day.
Yeah, we can't
just
do that.
Slip it right through when nobody's looking, insufficient debate. That's the way they play this game.
Yeah, can't quite do it that fast here in Pennsylvania, but I know that it had been on the table. It can be on the table for 10 days, and then action has to be taken or it dies. But I know SR 152 was on the table for 10 days, okay? And so there was action taken that day. It was removed from the table in one motion, then put back on the table in the next motion. So now the countdown starts again at, you know, day one. So it's back on the table for another 10 days. And that's why the Convention of States folks wants the Senate to vote on this within a 10-day time period. So anyway, yeah. So what we need to do then, we need to contact our state senators and say no to a constitutional convention, no to a convention of states, no to SR 152 specifically. That should be the message.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Please defend our Constitution. Please stand up and defend it, which is what we want in legislators. Now, we're starting to see in some of these primary elections around the country that some of these bad legislators are getting defeated in their own primary. That's because voters out there want people who will defend
absolutely,
the Constitution,
yeah.
who will teach it, who will promote it, who will advocate for it. That's what we want. We don't want people in there saying our Constitution's defective. Many leaders throughout our nation's history, the finest people, said that our Constitution's a miracle.
Yeah.
And it's to be understood, it's to be read, it's to be taught, it's to be defended and advocated for. And one of them, Daniel Webster, said, listen, our Constitution's a miracle. And miracles don't happen twice. Often don't happen twice. We want them to. We
right.
want them to. But don't expect the same miracle to happen twice.
Exactly.
We got the miracle once. Let's defend it now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let's teach it. Let's use it.
Yeah. If folks wanted to contact you, can they contact you? Maybe I should ask that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And email is probably the best way to reach me. So it's just my first letter and then my last name, ASCHLAFLY@AOL.com. And okay. I'd love to hear from you.
Fantastic. I always appreciate your expertise in this because I'm not a lawyer. So.
You do a great job, Diane.
Appreciate that.
Really, you're wonderful.
Appreciate
and we're turning Pennsylvania around, huh? I mean,
hoping to.
I'm hopeful we'll get some good people in there. We've got some good people in there now. We just need to help them and educate the ones who are not so good and turn that state around, huh?
Yep, that's the goal. That's the goal, and we keep working at it. Sure do. Hey, thanks a lot, Andy. I appreciate your input here.
Thank you, Diane.
Okay, have a good weekend.
You too.
Okay, thanks
care.
A lot. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.